Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater program, 239 in the series. A full 3 hours, Lisa.
How do you like that?
Wow. We're here till 2 a.m. This is December 3rd, and we have classic radio shows for you, including The Great Gildersleeve Christmas Show, Big Town with also a Christmas show. And guess what, Lisa? Three for three.
Henry Aldridge show
on Henry Aldridge. Yeah, in fact, we have Christmas shows all the way through the end of December, all the way to December 25th. We will have all your favorite holiday programs. Our producer is Shantae Garth, and guess what? This show is brought to you by Cats Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cats Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film Game Night, about a group of friends who meet regularly for game nights and find themselves trying to solve a murder mystery.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do they win?
They're going to win two tickets to Mercury Theater Chicago to see The Christmas Schooner.
The Christmas Schooner.
Two tickets,
right?
Yeah.
All right. Call us 312-981-7200. Win some tickets. Here's a hint. This actress played Sasha Pfeiffer in Spotlight.
The numbers clearly indicate that there were senior clergy involved.
All right, who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back. This is show 239 of the WGN Radio Theater, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
The numbers clearly indicate that there were senior clergy involved.
And we've got Chris on the line. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
How's it going?
How are you?
Great.
Is it Chris Kringle or is it a different Chris?
Well, Chris Kringle in December.
There you go.
Yeah,
we don't want to divulge the last name, so we'll go with Chris Kringle. Chris, who is that actress?
Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams is right, and we are thrilled to give you a pair of tickets to see The Christmas Schooner.
Are you actually thrilled?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
I'm
okay.
Excited.
I want to make sure.
Do I not sound excited?
Yeah, you actually
I'm actually excited to give them to you because I do go to this show every year. It's one of those holiday traditions, and I love it. It's a musical. Of course, it's playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago. It's running through December 31st, and we're so happy to help spread the Christmas spirit around. So
yeah.
You can get tickets and more information at mercurytheaterchicago.com. So we hope that you love it.
It's great. It's a great little theater.
It sure is. So enjoy that. Thank you for calling.
Chris, I'm a large, maybe extra large, and I like cashmere sweaters for Christmas.
I'll get you something.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
I'll get you some vinyl.
Yeah. I like vinyl. All right. Thanks a lot, my friend. All right. Well, guess what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
We are here, as I said earlier, till 2 a.m., playing these great Christmas shows. We have Gildersleeve, Big Town, and the Aldridge family. And folks, as you know, I always say it around this time, we have a text in line. Don't forget to text into us because I don't want Lisa falling asleep. She snores loud.
Oh, yeah. If I don't get texts, I'm just going to fall over and snore.
She saws logs over there. Give her something to do.
You should take some video of that. We're going to have to get that up on Facebook.
Yeah, but I'd rather people text in so you have something to do.
We also have a Facebook page, and we want you to like us, and you can post there as well and message us and all that stuff. And our schedule is there, and we will have photos posted throughout the night of the stars in these radio shows.
All right, so yesterday we talked a little bit about my gig at Zany's where I'm going to do stand-up. One liner stand up.
Well, in your imagination, we talked
about
that.
And
happening.
You're going to be my warm up. Uh-huh. And so you have a Christmas joke, correct?
Okay, ready, guys?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Why did the Grinch rob the liquor store?
Why did the Grinch rob the liquor store?
He was desperate for some holiday spirit.
Okay. I give it a 4.
Are you kidding?
Out of 25.
Are you comparing them to your jokes?
My jokes yesterday, I could hear the audience laughing from here.
You were the only one laughing.
All right. Gildersleeve, we're going to laugh at
okay,
him right
let's
now.
Let's do it.
The great Gildersleeve, Hal Perry, originated this role, of course, on the Fibber, McGee, and Molly show. And then in 1941, it became the first spinoff into its own program, and we have an episode for you now from 1942, December 20th to be exact. It's the Christmas show. Here's Hal Perry in part one of The Great Gildersleeve.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. Kraft Cheese Company will also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night. Present each week at this time, Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. Well, Christmas is still a few days away, but I imagine in most of your homes the festivities have already started for the youngsters. Yes, with the kids on vacation, there are probably plenty of parties and occasions when friends drop in. And that calls for a well-filled cookie jar. Yes, and a big bowl of popcorn now and then. So here's a tip. For cookies that fairly melt in your mouth, try making them with parquet margarine for the shortening. You see, besides being grand for table use as a spread for bread and seasoning for hot vegetables, parquet, when used as a shortening, adds delicate extra flavor to all baked foods. Try parquet melted over popcorn, too, and just watch the youngsters go for it. Best of all, these Christmas treats aren't expensive when you use economical parquet. So get your holiday supply of parquet margarine tomorrow and surprise the youngsters with the best holiday cookies and popcorn they ever tasted. Just ask your dealer for parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine made by Kraft. Now let's join our friend, the great Gildersleeve. With December almost gone, he's been working like a beaver the past few days trying to get out the annual report of the water department. That's why we find him now in his office asleep at 9 o'clock in the morning with his head buried in the annual report and his arms sprawled across the blotter, while through his troubled dreams run thoughts of this happy holiday season.
You simply must get at that Christmas card list, Uncle Moore.
All right, Marjorie.
Model airplane. That's all I want for Christmas, a model airplane.
I know, Leroy, I know.
How about that annual report, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Right away, Miss Fitch.
How many for Christmas dinner, Mr. Gildersleeve? Can't order till I know how many.
Give me a chance, Bertie.
Just because I'm giving you a present, Throckmorton, I don't want you to think you have to give me a present.
Oh, Leela, I almost forgot.
Have you bought the tree?
Tree?
Have you bought the mistletoe?
Wait a minute.
Have you forgotten anybody?
Wait!
Mr. Gildersleeve?
What do you want?
We regret to inform you that federal regulations require payment for all charge purchases on or before the 10th of the month.
Oh, go away, all of you. Christmas, I hate it.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve. Oh, my goodness, what's happened? Mr. Gildersleeve, he's still warm.
Go away, go away.
Wake up.
Miss Fitch, let me see, where were we? Afraid I dozed a little there. Dear sir, read that back to me, will you?
Mr. Gildersleeve, it's morning.
Morning? Is there anything strange about that?
Only that you slept here all night.
I did? Oh, I must apologize, Miss Fitch. I'm afraid I need a shave. Oh, and the suit looks as if I'd slept in it. Oh, well, let's finish this report and get it over with, huh?
But you haven't even had breakfast.
Breakfast can wait, for once. Will you check these figures as I read them off?
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you. Statement of financial status. Cash on hand, $386.52.
Check.
Accounts receivable, $2,873.38.
Check.
Interest, $139.10.
Check.
Marjorie negligee and slippers. Leela Ransom, passion flower. There must be something wrong here.
I think there must.
Yes, I guess I must have got to thinking about something else during the night. Silly, wasn't it?
Yes.
Perhaps I should explain, Miss Fitch. I was thinking about my Christmas list.
So I assumed.
Yes. Perhaps I should explain further, Miss Fitch. Passion flower is the name of a perfume.
I know. I use it exclusively myself.
Oh, maybe I better give it a little more thought then. You know, Miss Fitch, I had the most awful dream last night.
I don't wonder.
Yes, I dreamed that I hadn't done a bit of Christmas shopping, which I haven't. But I also dreamed that it was the day before Christmas. I want to tell you, I was frantic.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I don't want to spoil your dream, but it is the day before Christmas.
What? It can't be.
But it is.
What happened to all those other days? There's a whole week I've lost track of.
You've been working too hard. You've been going around here in a fog.
Oh, but I haven't bought a single present. I haven't had breakfast. I haven't even had a shave. Oh, this is really going to be one of my bad days.
Come right in, Mr. Gildersleeve. You're next. No waiting.
Good morning, Floyd.
Gee, Mr. Gildersleeve, you look like the grapes of wrath.
Yes, I had a hard night last night, Floyd.
What happened? Did you run into some friends?
No. I worked all night at the office.
That's what they all say.
I told you, Floyd, I worked all night at the office.
Okay. You worked all night at the office.
I haven't had any breakfast either, so let's skip the conversation and make it a quick shave.
All right, Mr. Gildersleeve, if that's the way you want it, that's the way it'll be. This is one place where the customer is always right.
That's fine.
If a man comes in here and doesn't feel like talking, that's all right with me. I can take a hint.
Good.
One thing I know how to do is hold my tongue.
Good.
I'm not like some barbers. You go into their shop and they talk your ear off from the time you get into the chair to the time you get out of it.
Good.
I want people to feel they can come in here and just relax and not have to listen to a whole lot of stuff.
Fine.
Not that I haven't got my troubles like everybody else, but I keep them to myself.
Good.
Now, like last night, I came home after a long day, and my wife had dinner waiting for me, ham hocks and sauerkraut. So we had that and some apple pie, and after dinner, I took off my shoes and turned on the radio. I was just getting comfortable, and my wife's sister calls up. And what do you think she wants? Come right over and play pinochle. Well, if you know my wife's sister. So I said to my wife, I said, nothing doing. I said, I'm all set here, I'm comfortable, and right here is where I'm staying.
Good.
I said, you couldn't move me out of here with a 10-ton truck. So we went over and played pinochle for a while, and then in come in, Judge, come in. Just finishing up with Mr. Gildersleeve here.
He hasn't even started on me yet.
Why, I'll have you shaved in two shakes.
See that you don't, brother.
I thought I'd find you here, Gildersleeve.
How are you, Judge? What's on your mind?
I just dropped in to serve notice on you, Gildersleeve, that after your recent performance, I'm not giving you any remembrance this Christmas. And please do not embarrass me by giving me any. Good day.
Good day. Wait a minute. I don't know what you're talking about, Horace. I haven't seen you in a week. I've been very busy.
Yeah, I'll say you've been busy. Busy over at Mrs. Ransom's.
Judge, I haven't even had time.
Don't deny it. The minute I told you I'd bought a ring, you went scurrying over there to try to cut me out. Was that the act of a friend?
Well, Judge, the best laid plans of mice and men, gang after glay. That's scotch. What's the matter? Did she turn you down?
Wouldn't you like to think so? Well, she didn't. She merely asked for time to consider.
It's the same thing. If she considers it, she won't do it. When is she giving you her answer, Judge?
As soon as she gets back from Savannah.
Savannah? Now, that'll show you how innocent I am, Judge. I didn't even know she was going to Savannah.
Now, don't try to give me that. You know as well as I do that she's going home to see her brother.
On my word, Judge, I told you I've been busy this week. I haven't seen anybody.
I don't know what your game is, Gildy, but this time it isn't going to work. I know all about Leela's plans, and I intend to be out at that airport today at 12 sharp to see her off.
So do I, Judge, and thanks for the tip. 12 o'clock at the airport, is it? Well, if it hadn't been for you, I might have missed saying goodbye to her.
Gildersleeve, I've borne a lot from you, but this is the last straw. You now place me in the unpleasant position of having to ask you hereafter to do me the favor not to speak to me.
Oh, anything for a friend, Judge. You know that.
Floyd? Merry Christmas.
Bye, Judge. Same to you.
Floyd, get going. I got a lot of ground to cover between now and Christmas. I wonder if I'm in time. I wonder if she's left yet. Leela, have you left yet?
Well, of all people, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Leela, why didn't you tell me you were going away?
I didn't suppose you'd care whether I came or went after the way you treated me last Saturday.
I can explain that, Leela. You see?
Pray, don't bother. I'm hardly in the habit of having gentlemen run out on me without so much as a by your leave.
Leela, let's talk this over. Aren't you going to invite me in?
Well, if you're going to break my door down, I suppose I'll have to. But I'm leaving right away. I've got all my bags packed, and I'm expecting a gentleman to call for me any minute.
I know. Hooker.
I'm not saying who it is, but he's more of a gentleman than you are.
Leela, about last Saturday, Bertie came back unexpectedly, and I had to go down to the station to meet her.
Did you ever come back?
But Leela...
Did I ever hear a word from you all week?
But I haven't had a minute. I've had to get out the annual report of the water department. And if you know what that means...
I know what it means. It means you care more for your old waterworks than you do for me. All I can say is I'm glad I'm going away.
Oh, now, Leela.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
Leela, don't be like that. Leela. Help. Somebody help. Look, Leela, I bought you a present.
You brought me a what?
A present. A Christmas present. You see, it's got Santa Claus on it. You see, he's waving to you. Go on, wave to Leela, Santa.
Oh, Throckmorton, you're such a fool. And you didn't forget, did you?
Forget? How could I forget after what happened the last time I saw you?
What happened, Throckmorton?
Don't you remember?
Certainly. I just wanted to see whether you remember.
By George, if there were any mistletoe around here, I'd show you whether I remember or not.
Do you have to have mistletoe? Oh, gracious, it must be time to leave.
Oh, Leela, don't go to Savannah. It's not patriotic to travel now.
Oh, but I have to, Throckmorton. My only brother Marvin is leaving for the Navy.
Oh.
Leela, we haven't got any time to lose.
Come in, George. Me,
not at all, not at all. A pleasure.
My bag's already here, and I have a nice surprise for you. Throckmorton's coming to the airport with us.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he's got his car. I'm afraid there won't be room in mine.
Tell the judge we wouldn't think of crowding him, Leela. You can come with me, and he can take the bags.
Oh, yeah? Well, you tell Gildersleeve for me.
Nonsense, nonsense. Now, we can all ride in one car. We'll put the bags in back and all ride in the front seat.
Leela, you either overestimate my seat or you underestimate Gildersleeve.
All right, let him take the bags up front with him. You and I'll ride him back, Leela.
Oh, no.
Now, we're going to be late. Who's going to carry out my bags?
I've got them.
Yeah, not. I got this one first. Now, let's look out.
Boys, no fighting now, you hear?
Good idea.
Throckmorton gets to carry the suitcase and the hat box, and Horace gets the overnight case.
Oh, Throckmorton gets everything.
Say, don't forget your present, Leela.
Oh, gracious, Throckmorton's present. Pick it up when you come, will you, Judge?
This thing?
Be careful of that hooker.
Come on, come on. The plane leaves in half an hour.
I just love The Great Gildersleeve. It's just so... I know, my brother hates this show. I don't know why. But
yeah, you've mentioned that once
or
twice.
Well, he doesn't like it because he goes, the laugh. He hates the laugh.
Yeah, but I thought not...
Well,
the episodes don't have
Hal
the laugh.
Perry always did the laugh.
Yeah.
So this is an early one. This is has Hal Perry on it. When Willard Waterman came on in 1950,
there was no more laugh.
Yeah, but my brother.
Although the laugh precedes
him. He just turns the
I think
the
when
dial.
He hears you, he just turns the dial. Same thing.
I guess so. All right, we're listening to a Christmas show from The Great Gildersleeve, 1942. More of that, plus tons more classic radio after these words. Hey, Roger.
Yes, Carl?
Yes.
Yes.
I have it on good authority that the person in charge of new talent for Zanies is listening tonight to make sure that I am worthy of a gig at Zanies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I might need your help. I need you to maybe a little extra laughing
maybe
at my
jokes. Maybe
write
the jokes would be the help that he could give you.
My biggest fan over here.
I got a fan for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, three settings, high, low, and no way.
So I have my first joke of the night.
The first?
Yeah.
And the last?
No, it won't be the last.
Okay.
When Santa is on the beach, what do the elves call him?
Sandy Claus.
Good, Roger.
Something with sand.
Figured it out. Sandy Claus.
You know, funny. Well, it's not midnight yet. I haven't
it's
turned
funny,
into a
pumpkin.
It's
funny, right?
Yeah.
It's really funny.
It's really funny. It's funny.
Is that funny like ha-ha or funny like
funny?
I'm a clown? Am
oh,
I
no,
like
no.
a clown?
We're laughing.
Wait a minute. I think it's gas. Go ahead. What?
We noticed that about you, Roger.
hey, Roger. Oh, gosh. Hey, look, they're laughing. Must be. I got the gig at Zanies, huh? Everybody's laughing.
You got something, I'll tell you that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for staying up late with us. We're here till 2 a.m. playing all your favorite classic radio shows. We're tuning in to The Great Gildersleeve. Then it's Big Town, a good newspaper drama. And then another comedy with the Aldrich family. Henry Aldrich, coming, Mother. Remember that one?
I sure do.
Remember that show?
Of course.
Roger, you remember that, of course.
Oh, of course.
Henry Aldrich.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Our group performed one of the episodes.
Really?
A couple of years ago.
What did you play?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I think I played the teacher that she kept going after.
Oh, yeah.
Well, would make sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that makes sense. It's not typecasting for sure.
Yeah. But more importantly, Roger, how much?
Oh, no.
How much?
Is that doggy in the window?
Is that doggy in the window? How much did Santa pay for his sleigh?
How much did Santa pay for his sleigh?
He's good at this, Roger.
Nothing. It was on the house. Oh, gosh. Look at him. He's holding his head. That's never a good sign.
I see the top of your head.
You need Tylenol?
Oh, I need something.
I'll do the next joke. We'll see if I can do better.
Thank you.
All right. We're listening to Gildersleeve. Let's go back to December 20th, 1942 for a Christmas show starring Hal Perry, the conclusion of The Great Gildersleeve.
Flight 37 to Savannah. All passengers aboard, please.
That's you, Leela. That's your plane.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. You know, I've never been in a flying machine before in my life.
I've got a good notion to come with you, Leela.
Oh, I wish you could.
Yeah. I think I'll stow away on the plane.
I'll bet you would, too, Throckmorton.
That blimp? There isn't room to stow him away on the B-19.
No, look here, Hooker.
Boys, boys. This is Christmas Eve. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man.
Well, he started it.
I don't care who started it. I want you both to promise me one thing before I go.
What's that?
Promise me you'll both be friends while I'm gone. Come on now, shake hands. Shake hands, Throckmorton. Come on.
Well, all right.
That's better. Now, you write to me every day, you hear?
I will, Leela.
I'll write twice a day.
So will I.
No, you won't.
I will, too.
Now, now. You're so impulsive, you boys. I want you to do me another favor.
Anything you say, Leela.
I want you both to spend Christmas together just thinking about me.
Mrs. Ransom?
Yes?
They're holding the plane for you.
For me? Oh, how nice. I'll be right along. Oh, my. Isn't he handsome in his uniform and all? I wonder if he's going, too.
Goodbye, Leela.
Oh, goodbye, Throckmorton.
I'll be waiting for your answer, Leela.
Yes. Now, remember, you two, you're going to be good friends. And don't you dare open your present till Christmas, you hear?
Mrs. Ransom, the plane is waiting.
Oh, my goodness. I'm in such demand here, I hardly know what I'm doing.
Just come with me, please.
With you? Oh, you know, Captain, this is my first trip on a flying machine.
Captain, I'll bet he's not even a sergeant.
Have a pleasant trip, Leela.
Yes, she will.
Well, there she goes.
Yeah, she'll soon be 5,000 feet in the air.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, dearie me. Now, isn't that too bad?
What?
Something I forgot to give her.
Huh?
Your Christmas present for Leela. I'm still carrying
it. Oh!
Let's see what's happened to the Great Gildersleeve. After a frantic 3-hour battle in Hogan Brothers department store, he bursts out of the store with his arms full of bundles and his hat over his ear.
Christmas. There ought to be a law against Christmas.
Oh, there, Gildersleeve. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dr. Pettibone. If you see anything the matter with me, please keep it to yourself till after the holidays.
But you're looking fine, old man. I was going to remark on it.
Oh, do you think so?
Never saw you looking better. Maybe those old arteries are beginning to soften for a change.
Pettibone, I'm in no mood for the humor of the dissection room.
Oh, come, come, Gildersleeve. A cheery smile will do more for your digestion than all the Epsom salts in the world. Come on, Gildersleeve. Let me hear you say ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
You can do better than that. Come on. That's better.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's enough now. That's fine. Just keep smiling, and your gastric juices will thank you.
My goodness. Let me see now. I got a present for everybody except Judge Hooker. That's fine. Hi, George. It's beginning to feel like Christmas. Yeah. Hooker. I wonder if I should break down and get Hooker a present. After what he pulled on me this afternoon, I know, but maybe he really did forget to give Leela that package. After all, this is Christmas. No time to bear a grudge. He isn't going to give me a present, though. I heard him say so. Yeah, but you can't trust him, Gildersleeve. He's just sneaky enough to go and do it. I could give him a little present, not a very good one. I could stop in here and get him something kind of cheap at the drugstore. I think I will.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like you were. Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, Phoebe. I didn't know that you were musically inclined, Phoebe.
Well, no, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I do find myself humming a tune occasionally when I'm alone here in the shop.
Oh, well, you know what they say. It's music makes the world go round. Or is it love?
Did you ever listen to this fellow Crosby, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Crosby? Oh, yes, yes.
Quite a singer.
One of the best. As a matter of fact, I've been compared to him once. Well, I was.
Usually, I like to listen to him on Thursday night. So does Mrs. Peavy.
Oh, Mrs. Peavy's a music lover, too, huh?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, one of the things I'm giving her for Christmas is an album of records. Selections by John Philip Sousa.
Yes.
He happened to be playing at the Steel Pier when we were on our honeymoon.
Oh. Well, between Crosby and Sousa, you can't go wrong. Hey, maybe you can help me out, Peavy. I came here to find a Christmas present.
Oh, something for a friend?
Well, I don't know that he's a friend, but I got to get him something.
Then I dare say we can find something suitable, Mr. Gildersleeve. Now, let's see.
It doesn't have to be too suitable.
Well, what sort of thing does your friend like?
He doesn't even have to like it. It just has to be a present.
Well, that makes it rather difficult. If you could give me some idea.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm buying it for Judge Hooker.
Judge Hooker? Well, it's a small world, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, is it, Peavy?
Would you believe it? Judge Hooker was in here not over an hour ago selecting a present for you.
Oh, so this is the kind of place he comes to buy me presents, is it?
I think you have a pleasant surprise in store for you, Mr. Gildersleeve. This gift is not the sort of thing you'd expect to find in a drugstore.
I'd like to know anything you couldn't expect to find in a drugstore. Tell me, Peavy, what did he buy me?
Oh, well, no, I'm afraid I couldn't tell you that. Professional ethics, you know.
But I want to know how good a present to buy him. At least you can tell me how much it cost.
No, but I believe I can say without betraying any confidence that it was under $5.
Good. Yeah, now we're getting someplace. What have you got for an old goat that costs less than $5?
Well, I've got a special on a fountain pen set here.
Huh?
You see, it says double-barreled, self-filling, iridium point, streamlined glucite case, special patented clip, indestructible, guaranteed to last till eternity.
Is it any good?
It's all right. You can't expect everything for $3.98.
Yes, well, you say it's guaranteed to last till eternity. Well, how long is that, 10 years?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
5 years?
If you don't drop it. Of course, if you don't care for the fountain pen, I have other things. I have an 8-day clock here, but the thing about that is...
I know, you have to wind it too often.
Mm.
Now, I'll take the fountain pen. May not last forever, but neither will Hooker.
I suppose you'd like it wrapped as a gift.
Wrapped as a gift? What does that mean?
Take the price tag off.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Does this pen cost more than the present the judge is giving me, or less?
Well, the pen is slightly more expensive.
Then leave the tag on it. I'll just take it as it is. Charge that, will you, Peavy? Hogan Brothers got all my money.
Well, glad to, Mr. Gildersleeve. I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Peavy, and the same to Mrs. Peavy.
You
You know, Leroy, maybe it's this green bulb that's making the trouble.
It do look a little tired.
Why don't you unscrew the bulb and stick the screwdriver in there?
Oh, never do that, my boy. You could blow out every fuse in the house. Besides, you can get a nasty shock that way.
Well, that's what the electrician did when he fixed the lights last year. I saw him.
Well, those electrician fellows are immune to electricity. Let me have that other bulb there, will you, Bertie?
Yes, sir. You know, Mr. Gillsleeve, when my vacuum cleaner starts acting up, I got a sure cure for it.
Well, a vacuum cleaner is not like a light circuit, Bertie.
Well, maybe not, but to me, all them electrical things is about the same. Goes in there and comes out here, and you better stay out of the way.
Well, the trouble here doesn't appear to be the green bulb. What is your cure, Bertie?
Well, sir, I pull the plug out, I turn it around, and I shake the bag 3 times and put the plug back. It ain't never failed yet.
Well, we tried everything else.
Yes, I can remember when we didn't bother with these electrical gadgets on Christmas trees. We just used candles. Set the house on fire every year, but it was a lot simpler. go ahead and let's try your system, Bertie.
All right. Stand back, Leroy. Now, pull the plug, turn it around, shake the cord. 1, 2, 3. Put the plug back.
Well, I'll be. Bertie, you're a genius. Mind you, come on in and see the beautiful tree.
Oh, it's beautiful. Let's turn off all the other lights and see how it looks. Hey, that's super. Oh, it's lovely. Isn't it, Uncle Moore?
Yes, it is. It's lovely.
That's the prettiest tree I ever saw in my life. Reminds me of the World's Fair.
Well, it's not as big a tree as we've had other years, but... And you think of all the people who aren't going to have any Christmas tree at all this year.
You know what gets me? Every year, Uncle Mort says, well, don't expect much this year, kids. We're going to have to cut down and just have a very small Christmas.
I know.
And every year seems like there's more presents than ever.
Oh, Uncle Mort, you've been so good to us. You've been like Santa Claus and Daddy and our favorite uncle. All rolled into one.
Yeah, you're a swell, Uncle.
Now.
I made some of them Christmas cookies special for you, Mr. Gillsleeve. Shall I bring them in?
Well, I can't think of a better time for Christmas cookies than right now, Bertie.
I'll go get them.
Yeah, cookies. I think I'm going to like this Christmas.
Hey, Uncle, can we open just one present, can we, huh?
Well, don't you think you ought to wait till Christmas, my boy?
Oh, but you always let us open just one. I'll pick a little one.
Well, all right, then. Just a little one.
Come on, Marge. You pick one of yours, and I'll pick one of mine.
Now, let's see what you got first.
Gee, thanks, Uncle. War bond. Just what I needed.
Not what you needed, maybe, but what the country needed. I know it may be something of a disappointment to you.
No, I think it's swell. I don't care if I didn't get a Model P-47 with a motor in it.
Well, it may mean that somebody else will get a real P-47 with a real motor in it. You have to think of that, my boy.
Yeah, I just wish I was the fellow who's going to fly it, that's all. Open yours, Marge. Let's see what you got.
I think I know. Is it, Uncle Mort?
Well, you open it and see.
You remembered.
What you got there, Miss Marjorie?
Every year he gives me one. Listen. Oh, it's a darling one. I love music boxes, and I love Christmas. Merry Christmas, Uncle Mort.
Merry Christmas, my dear. Who's that?
I'll go. Maybe it's Santa Claus. Well, for goodness sake, come in, Judge.
Good evening, Bertie. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Judge.
Hello, Leroy.
Hi.
Hello, Marjorie.
Merry Christmas, Judge.
Would you be good enough to ask your uncle, Marjorie, whether he's in?
Ask the judge whether he's blind.
Oh, so that's your attitude. Well, you may recall, Throckmorton, that we gave a certain lady our promise that during her absence, we would be friends.
Yes, I recall it vaguely.
Well, I, for one, am a man of my word. It's customary for friends to exchange tokens this holiday season. For that reason, and for no other, I have brought you a slight gift. Here.
Oh. Well, now that you mention it, I have one for you. There.
Throckmorton. Throckmorton. You old son of a gun.
Yeah. Horace, you old goat, you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. By George, now it is a Merry Christmas.
Throckmorton, what do you say we open each other's presents, huh?
Okay, let's do it.
I just can't wait. Oh. That everlasting fountain pen.
Ew, that eight-day clock.
Throckmorton, I think Brother Peavy unloaded something on us.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. On behalf of the Kraft Cheese Company and the cast of our program, I'd like to wish all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas and the happiest possible New Year. There are many of us for whom it'll be difficult to be merry this Christmas, with loved ones far away and families divided. But let's try to keep up the Christmas tradition for the sake of the men who are fighting to preserve it. And to those men also fighting in foxholes and slit trenches, on the sea and in the air, northeast, south, and west, we also send our Christmas good wishes. God bless you all. Good night, everybody.
Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by Billy Mills. This is Ken Carpenter speaking to the makers of Kraft Cheese and inviting you to tune in again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This program reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, that is The Great Gildersleeve, Good Christmas Show from December 20th, 1942, starring Hal Perry, sponsored by Kraft, as heard on NBC. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, I think Lisa has another joke, Raj.
I'm sorry, I got something to do at the other desk.
No, come on, this is me. This isn't Carl, okay. So it's
okay. Oh,
wow. Okay, Roger.
Yes?
How do you know Santa has to be a man?
How do I know Santa has to be a man?
Because no woman is going to wear the same outfit year after year. Right?
That makes sense.
I know.
Very good one. That was a good one.
Yeah, you know what?
It's very true.
You know something, Carl? I think those people at Zany's have forgotten about you.
Oh, no.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
I think they're looking at Lisa for a headliner.
He's forgettable.
Very forgettable. Unforgettable.
That's what you are.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger and Esmeralda. This is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater, where we play all your favorite classic radio shows. Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, The Shadow, Suspense, Gunsmoke, Dragnet, and Big Town. That's this hour. We have Big Town for you, good newspaper drama, a Christmas show. And then in our third hour, it'll be the Aldridge Family, and it's all brought to you by Cats Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film The Nutcracker and the Four Realms, about a young girl transported into a magical world of gingerbread soldiers and an army of mice.
Okay. And they made a movie out of The Nutcracker?
Yeah, they sure did.
Okay.
I won't be going to see it, but it's there. It's coming. It is a pair of tickets to the Christmas Schooner at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right. Want to win some tickets? Call us now, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Joan Clark in The Imitation Game.
Ellen, it doesn't matter how smart you are. Enigma is always smarter.
Enigma is always smarter.
It sounds better when she says it.
I know. It sounds better when anyone else says it.
I was going to say that.
Is that very lovely actress? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Going to play it again.
Ellen, it doesn't matter how smart you are. Enigma is always smarter.
Yeah, Enigma.
All right. Hi, Sally. We've got Sally. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You recognize that actress?
Is it Keira Knightley?
Keira Knightley is right, and we are happy because we have two tickets just for you to see The Christmas Schooner. It is a musical, and it's playing at the Mercury Theater through December 31st. Of course, it's a holiday classic, and for more information and to get tickets, you can go to mercurytheaterchicago.com. It's a great show, and I hope that you love it. I go every year to see it.
I heard it was good. I heard Dean Richards talking about it, too. And I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Oh, good, good. They do great stuff at Mercury Theater, not just the Christmas Schooner, but all year they have a great season out there. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sally. All right, hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. And once again, our text in line, 312-981-7200. You've been keeping Lisa up. She hasn't fallen asleep here. Thanks. Appreciate that. Because then we got to step over her. It's a pain. She just does this fetal position thing. And then.
Yeah, you could just kick me over. Just give me a little push.
We wouldn't do that. Shantae and I, we just walk right over you.
Well,
we don't
wouldn't do it, but you would.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't.
She's much nicer than you are.
So you have another one, Lisa? You got another
joke?
Oh,
I've got plenty.
All right, go
ahead. All right,
I'll give
it to you. Ready? Mm-hmm. One day a little boy wrote to Santa Claus, "Please send me a sister." So Santa Claus wrote him back, "Okay, send me your mother."
That's good. I like that.
Okay, good.
I get that one.
I was going to say, I don't think you got the last one.
I got it, Lisa.
I'm so glad.
All right. And you know what else I've got for you?
Classic radio.
Yeah, Big Town.
Big Town.
Now, you know about this show?
A little bit. It was a
newspaper drama. Edward G. Robinson actually starred as crusading newspaper editor Steve Wilson from 1937 until 1942. And then he got too busy with his movie career. Claire Trevor co-starred as society editor Lorelei Kilborn for 1 year. Big Town, at its peak, was actually the highest-rated drama on radio. Edward Pauly and then later Walter Griza and Ona Munson played the two after Claire Trevor and Edward G. Robinson left the show. There was also a TV version starring Mark Stevens and Trudy Warr. And it aired from 1950 until 1956. We have a radio episode for you now from a broadcast date of December 21st, 1948. Edward Pauly stars in this. It's called Prelude to Christmas. Here's part one of Big Town.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town.
Extra, extra hero about Prelude to Christmas. Tonight's Big Town story brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, used in the homes of 40 million Americans. Extra, extra.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town, the headline stories of a great city dramatically reported by Steve Wilson, fighting managing editor whose creed, as with all great newsmen, is emblazoned on the masthead of the Illustrated Press.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword. That it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now to Big Town, and Steve Wilson's timely and touching story of a child's simple faith, and captioned Prelude to Christmas. This is the story of the eternal struggle of faith against fear in the mind of a child. And began as 10-year-old Greta Vilnander father, 2 of 1,000 displaced persons from the shambles of Central Europe, stood at the rail of a mercy ship as it steamed into Big Town Harbor.
Papa, I am frightened. Why are all the little boats blowing their whistles at us? Are they going to send us away from America? Make us go back?
No, Greta, my darling one. That is the great heart of America welcoming us.
But, Papa, what of the boat with officials in uniforms?
What of them, my child?
Except for the American GI soldiers at RDP camp, I am afraid of officials in uniforms, Papa.
You must not be afraid anymore, my darling.
But, Papa, it was officials of the government who came and took you from your newspaper and Mama from our home, and Mama died.
There, my darling. That is over, finished, done. We must remember, and yet we must forget.
But the officials... They come to question us.
Yes, but also to welcome us, like the little boats out there. And you must not be afraid, for here in America, the officials of the government are the servants of the people, not the people slaves of the officials.
But We are not Americans.
No, but we are guests of the people of America. Through their Congress, they have invited us here to live and work and pursue happiness. And if we are worthy of their faith in us, we can one day become citizens of this great land.
Like Uncle Peter in Oregon?
Yes, Greta. And like your Aunt Reba, who lives in Big Town, who will be waiting for us at the dock.
But, Papa, what if something is wrong? If there is another mistake and we are sent back?
It will not happen. You must not be afraid, Greta.
I want to have faith. I do not want to be afraid anymore, but so much has happened.
I know, my darling. Your little lifetime has been filled with tragedy and sorrow. But we must forget what has been. Look to the future.
I'll try, Papa.
Come, my darling. Dry your eyes. Some gentlemen are coming this way. One with a camera to take pictures, perhaps for the American newspapers.
But why would they want to take a picture of us, Papa?
Because you are a very pretty little girl, young lady. Get a good picture, Dusty.
Oh, how could I miss? Hello, young lady. Can I shoot you?
Shoot me? Oh, Papa.
It's all right, Greta. The gentleman means may it be a picture of you.
Oh, yes. I remember now. In our camp, the GI soldier said shoot for almost everything. It is American slang.
That's right, young lady. And I beg your pardon, sir, but the ship's captain tells me you're Gregory Pilner, a newspaper editor imprisoned by the Nazis.
Yes,
oh, Papa. Be careful what you say.
Oh, Greta, Greta, do not be afraid. No harm will come of speaking here. Is that not so, sir?
Yes, thank heaven. And now, young lady, if you let my photographer take some pictures of you while I talk to your father.
Yes, sweetheart. Come on over here to the rail and I'll shoot you. I mean, take a picture looking at the big town skyline. And try to look impressed, even if it is only a pile of stone.
But I am very impressed, Mr. Cameraman.
Your photographer, he understands children.
Yes, in spite of the fact that his specialty is criminals.
Criminals? And you, sir?
Well, I'm Steve Wilson, managing editor of the Big Town Illustrated Press, Mr. Pilner. And I'm hoping you'll come to my office.
Your office?
We'd like to do a story on your experiences in the Polish underground.
Well, I would be most happy, Mr. Wilson, but in only 2 days, Greta, I must take the train for Oregon.
Well, could you come to the Illustrated Press about 6 tomorrow evening?
Yes, Mr. Wilson. At 6, I will be there without fail.
Oh, Papa, Mr. Dusty, the photographer, has told me I will soon see Christmas trees and many helpers of St. Nicholas, which my GI friends called Sandy Claus.
Santa Claus, sweetheart. And Big Town is just crawling with them this time of year.
Yes, Greta. And if you'll come along with your father to my office tomorrow evening, I'll have Dusty take you out to meet some of Santa Claus' helpers.
To your office? Papa must go to your office?
Yes, Greta, but just for a little talk.
Oh, no, Papa. It was just for a little talk. You went at home and they put you in prison.
Not here, my dear.
And Mama, for food rations, she went and never came back. Never came back.
Not here, my darling. Don't be afraid. Not here. It will not happen here.
Oh, excuse me a moment, Mr. Dillon, my private wire.
But of course, Mr. Wilson.
Steve Wilson, Illustrated Press. Oh, Lila, where are you? I thought you'd be on the Washington plane. Senate reorganizations? Yes, stay there. I have a special feature I wanted you to do, but I'll cover it. Look out for those Washington wolves, my lovely. Just call me later tonight.
You're a feature writer?
Yes, and a very good one, Mr. Dillon. But I have most of the facts, and I'll do the article on you myself.
Oh, I'm honored, Mr. Wilson.
I am the one who was honored, Mr. Pilner, in being able to publish the story of a newspaper editor who sacrificed everything in defending the freedom of the press.
Well, there were many of us, Mr. Wilson. We did what we could to stem the tide of tyranny, but tragically, it marches on. Tyranny does not die in battle so long as it lives in the hearts of man. And so long as fear and the memory of fear haunts the spirit of the living is with my little Greta.
Yes, what about your daughter, Greta? I hoped you'd bring her with you.
No, poor little Greta. For so long as she can remember, she has lived in the shadow of fear. She has suffered hunger, witnessed horror. She walked with death. Only joy she does not know. I have never heard her laugh.
Well, in time she will, Mr. Pilner. In time.
Let that pray. And she yet has faith in God. That they could not destroy, and it fights her fear even of my coming here to visit you.
Oh, of course you'd be worried until you return, and I mustn't keep you.
Yes, I must go, for my sister has prepared a surprise for Greta. A complete Christmas, although it is not yet time.
A complete Christmas?
Yes. You see, we will be on the long train ride to my brother's home in Oregon, and Greta fears Shanty Nikolai, St. Nicholas, will not be able to find us on the train. So tonight we pretend and celebrate, as is our custom in the old country, Christmas Eve with a fine dinner, a beautiful decorated tree, and presents for Greta.
That's a wonderful idea, Mr. Wilner.
Would you come, Mr. Wilson? Would you honor us?
Could I come later?
If you would.
Well, as soon as I check a few things with my city editor, Mr. Wilner. Just a minute. Yes? Yes, Mr. Wilner's here. Who's calling? Reba Vucic?
My sister? Why should she call me here?
Well, here, you'd better talk to her, Mr. Vucic. She sounds upset.
Thank you. Hello? What is it, Reba? Greta? No, she's not here. You've looked in the neighborhood? Oh, my poor darling. If she is lost, she will become more frightened in this great city. Yes, I will come at once. Mr. Wilson, Greta became frightened I might not come back. She tried to follow me, wished to share my fate, and now she is lost. In the snow and darkness of this vast city, she is lost.
While talking to Gregory Vilner, editor and hero of the Underground, who has just arrived in America with a group of displaced persons, Steve learns that Vilner's daughter is lost. Meanwhile, on a cold street corner on the south side of Big Town, a character by the name of Willie the Weep, dressed in a moth-eaten Santa Claus costume, is trying to collect money for the Illustrated Press Christmas Fund.
Give, folks! Give a little to poor old Santa Claus! Give what you can so them's ain't got hardly anything at all. You can have a little Christmas cheer. Give!
Santa Claus! Oh, Santa Claus, please help me.
Great day. What are you doing out alone in all this dark and snow and cold, little girl?
I am looking for my father. Please help me.
Sure, I will. But you oughtn't to be out alone in the cold and the snow.
I'm not afraid of the cold or the dark. All my life I've lived in the cold and the dark.
But who are you, little girl?
I am Greta Vilner. Please help me, Santa Claus.
Sure, I will. But where do you live?
I don't live anywhere now.
Not anywhere?
Once I lived in Europe, and I am on my way to Oregon on a train tomorrow.
But where are you staying in Big Town?
With my Aunt Reba.
Aunt Reba who?
I can't remember her married name.
Where does she live?
I don't know.
Don't you know the house or the street?
There are so many houses all alike. So many streets all alike.
Oh, you poor little girl. This is terrible.
Please don't cry for me, Santa Claus. I'm not afraid for myself. Only for my papa.
Where's your papa gone?
To a newspaper office.
A newspaper office? What newspaper?
I can't remember, but he had to go. And I'm afraid they'll send him away to prison like they did at home.
No, they won't, miss. Newspapers don't ever send nobody to prison in America. They only try to help the police. The police. That's where I better take you, miss. To the police station.
Oh, no. Please, no, Santa Claus. I'm afraid of police stations.
Why?
Because people who go to police stations hardly ever come home again.
Not here, miss. Why, if that was so in America, there wouldn't be enough jails to hold them. Now, you come on. I gotta get you out of this cold and snow.
No. Please, Santa Claus. Don't take me to the police station. Please help me find my papa.
All right, miss. I know a newspaper fellow that can find almost anybody. You come along, and I'll bet he'll help you to find your papa.
Oh, Gregory, you're here. Oh, Gregory, I'm sorry. I could not stop it.
No news then, Reba?
I need Shalala. Nothing.
It is not your fault, Reba, and Greta will be found.
Found? But how?
My good friend here, Mr. Wilson, has the police searching, also his reporters and photographers.
Yes, and I'm sure we'll have some word soon, Mrs. Wojcik.
But in this great city, so many things can happen. Terrible things.
And also wonderful things as well.
Oh, if only there was something we could do. I keep crying. Oh, poor Trudy.
There. Mr. Wilson, I have a thought of where to look for Greta.
Oh, what is it, Mr. Wilner? We'll try anything.
A church in our home city. Even after it was bombed, Greta, when she was troubled and afraid, went to the rubble and ruin of our cathedral and prayed.
Yes. Lost, fearful of your safety, she might go into one of the churches in this neighborhood.
Yes, any church, any house of God. It would make no difference to a child seeking
solace. Oh, do any of us, Mr. Wilner? And they're all open, preparing for holiday services. Come on, Mr. Wilner. I told Harry the Hack to wait downstairs with his cab. We'll make the rounds.
Yes, go. Gregory, friend, go. Hurry. I will wait here and pray that you find
her. I am sure we shall find her, Reba. We will call you when we do.
And you can take the turkey out of the oven, the presents out of the closets, and light the tree for Greta's very special Christmas.
All right, we're listening to Big Town with the Prelude to Christmas starring Edward Pauly from 1948. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
The zany guy called me, Lisa's.
Yeah.
He's interested in you to do a stand-up routine. Got another one?
No, I don't really want Zany's. I'm just going to hang
Saturday
tight
Night
for
Live.
Saturday Night Live.
All right, you got one more?
Okay, sure. I didn't know I was doing it right now. This is kind of funny. I don't know if you'll
okay.
like this one. I asked my wife what she wanted for Christmas. She told me nothing would make her happier than a diamond necklace. So I bought her nothing.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's literal. That's what it is.
I
what
like
she
that.
Said. I knew you would.
You know what? Hopefully Dan's listening so he can get the advice you just gave him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing. Well, yeah. We don't.
What are you going to get for Christmas from Dan, do you know?
Nothing.
Have you
because
picked
we
anything
don't
up?
Celebrate Christmas.
Oh, that's
I'm
right.
so sorry.
Sorry. I forgot. All right, what about Hanukkah?
Nothing. We're just going to Florida. So
oh, that's
Hanukkah,
nice.
It's more like the kids. We don't really get anything for Hanukkah. Just
okay.
just my charming wit and personality.
Right. Well, there you go. That's worth
unlimited.
all the necklaces in the world, right,
you got
Lisa?
It. Yeah.
All right, we're tuning into Big Town. Let's go back and tune into the conclusion now to Prelude to Christmas starring Edward Pauly.
Come on, come on, little girl.
Is it much, Father, to your newspaper friend who can help find my papa, Sandy Claus?
Yeah, but we're going to stop at my friend's Mozart's Harbor Cafe and get you warm while borrow taxi fare to take you to my friend Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson? I have heard that name.
He's kind of important on account...
Oh, wait, Sandy Claus. Listen.
Listen to what?
To the music. The church music. Holy music. It's coming from that cellar right there.
Oh, that's just a little old waterfront mission run by a poor old blind preacher folks calls a prophet.
Please take me in there a minute, Sandy Claus.
But I thought you wanted to find your papa in a hurry.
I do. And I want to ask God to help us. Pray to God to help us. Please, Sandy Claus, please.
All right, Miss Greta.
Please come in with me and... help me pray to find Papa.
All right, but you'll have to help me, because I guess I just about forgot how to pray, almost.
Come ye faithful to the fold. If thy spirit be troubled with doubt, let him whom those among us call God, Jehovah, Allah, or some other name of faith, let him lift up thy weary spirit on the wings of prayer. In whatever tongue thou hast been taught to speak his word of faith. Amen.
Please, Mr. Willie, kneel with me and help me pray.
You start praying, Miss Greta. That's my friend Mozart playing the harmonium for the prophet. I want to ask him something.
All right, but please come back.
I'll be right back.
Oh, Holy Father, please help me find my own dear earthly.
Willie. Willie the Weep, what are you doing here?
I found a little girl was lost, Mozart. I was on my way to your cafe to borrow a cab fare to take her to Mr. Wilson when she heard you playing holy music and wanted to come in here to pray.
Well, the prophet's organist is sick, so I came down to help him out. Who's the kid?
One of them poor misplaced people that come in on that boat yesterday.
Displaced? DP. How'd she get lost?
Looking for her father, what used to be a newspaper man. And she's afraid he's been arrested or shot or something. She's had an awful time, and she's just afraid of about everything, Mozart.
I shouldn't wonder, poor kid.
So I figured Mr. Wilson could help find her father quicker than anybody else in Big Town.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Going back and phone him, Willie.
All right, but could you lend me a nickel, Mozart? I'm kind of broke. Except for this money I've collected for the Illustrated Press Christmas Fund. And that's for presents for the poor kids. And I can't use any of it.
Somebody ought to make you a bank president, Willie. Here's a nickel. Now you go make that call.
Say, boss.
Yeah, say it, Harry, but keep your eye peeled for the next church.
Well, there's a little one in the next block, and I sure hope we have better luck than we did in the other three.
It would not matter to Greta what kind of church. In Europe, those who have been able to cling to their faith are fortunate to find a ruin in which to worship.
Here you are. It sounds like they're practicing Christmas hymns.
Yes. Will you go in and look for Greta, Mr. Villner?
Yes. If she's here, she will be sitting quietly, praying. That I know for sure.
Poor guy, Mr. Wilson. He's scared and he's trying not to show it.
I'm worried too, Harry. But everything's being done that can be done.
A lot can happen to a kid in this hard-boiled town.
Well, we deal too much with the seamy side, Harry. Actually, the people of a big town are no worse than other people the world over.
Yeah, more good than bad, even in the seamy ones. I guess we kind of forget that.
Yeah? You forget a lot of things, Harry, that we only remember this time of year.
Yeah. Still snowing. Makes the old town kind of pretty, almost.
Yes. It hides and softens the man-made ugliness.
He's coming out, boss, without the kid. Poor guy.
Now start your motor, Harry. We'll try the next church.
Yeah, she's not there, Mr. Wilson. Greta's not there. Not there.
Boss, there's a synagogue in the next block and a Catholic church on the corner.
Well, drive on, Harry. Stop at both of them.
Okay, boss.
Mr. Wilson, not here. Not here. My Greta is not here.
Dominus vobiscum et cum spiritu tuo.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vilner. Greta is not here.
Sorry, boss. We tried every church in this neighborhood.
No, Harry. Wait a minute. There's one we've forgotten.
Which one?
The Blind Prophet's mission.
Golly, yeah. It's around the next corner. Just an old basement, but the kid might have passed that way.
Make the turn. We'll try it, Harry.
A basement? Our church at home was nothing but the basement when the bombs were finished. Greta went there many times. It was the only church she ever knew.
Mm-hmm. Well, there it is. Let's go in.
Oh, the music, the voices. They would draw my Greta to them out of the night.
Mr. Wilson, I've been trying to phone you.
Willie, the Weep. Look, Willie, have you seen anything of a little lost girl?
I sure have, Mr. Wilson. I found her.
You found her? You found my Greta?
Yes. She's with the prophet, and he's been helping her pray we'd find you. And she's right in here.
Oh, thank heavens, and thank you, and bless you all.
There she is, Mr. Vilner, kneeling in the last row, still praying for your safety. We'll wait here and take you home.
Yes. Yes, please wait, Mr. Wilson. You and your friend Willie the Santa Claus must come to help us to make Greta's first joys and very special Christmas complete.
Thus, the lost is found and reunited. And in a moment, we'll return to the dramatic and heartwarming climax of Prelude to Christmas. Brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap. I'm going to say something you may find startling, but doctors have proved it. Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner, stops BO as no other leading soap can. Yes, after comparing the effects of daily baths with different soaps, these doctors made this amazing statement. Actually, you're cleaner, safer from BO when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. It's Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient that makes the difference. Remember, this purifying ingredient actually makes Lifebuoy milder, safe even for a baby's tender skin. So bathe with Lifebuoy every day and ask for Lifebuoy in the big new bath size. It's generous, luxurious. Get the new bath size Lifebuoy tomorrow. Now, back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson and his companions as they gather in an apartment in Big Town to help a little refugee celebrate, a little ahead of time, the first joyous Christmas she's ever known.
Oh, Papa, when may I take the blindfold from my eyes and see the beautiful tree with all its colored lights?
In a moment, Greta, my darling. But before you do and become so excited you can't speak, you must thank Mr. Wilson and all his friends who helped bring us together again.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson, and I am sorry I ran away and got lost, because I thought you were going to send my father to prison.
You're very, very welcome, Greta. And try to forget the past. Your future is here with us, in America. And no matter where you go in this vast land of ours, you need never again live in fear of the things you fled. If you fight with us, all those men of evil who would enslave all mankind.
I won't be afraid anymore, Mr. Wilson. See? I am not even afraid of the blindfold on my eyes, which I remember only on people who are about to die.
Greta, you must forget. Forget all that, my dear.
Yes, Greta. Remember only that it must not happen here, and what you see when your father removes the blindfold will help you.
Please, Papa, take away the blindfold and thank you all for this Christmas. I would have missed on the long train ride to Oregon.
Yes, Greta. Now, but I think it is fitting that your good friend Willie the Santa Claus should let you see the tree.
Untie the blindfold, Willie.
All right, Mr. Wilson.
I know the Christmas tree is lighted already, Mr. Willie the Weep.
Yeah, Miss Greta, like a million stars.
I know.
Hold still. I can't get the doggone knot untied.
It doesn't matter. I've been peeping for a long, long time.
There.
Oh, it's the most beautiful Christmas tree in all the world.
Merry Christmas, Greta.
Merry Christmas, Greta.
And so ended Steve Wilson's story of a little girl's prelude to Christmas. And now, before telling you of next week's exciting Big Town story, remember, doctors have proved it. Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Yes, you're cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. Ask for Lifebuoy Health Soap tomorrow. Next week, don't fail to hear another exciting big town story headlined Deadly Resolution. The story of a premature New Year resolution. In tonight's dramatization, the part of Steve Wilson was played by Edward Pawley. Lorelei Kilbourne by Fran Carlin. Dusty by Casey Allen. Willie the Weep by Donald McDonald. Mozart by Larry Haynes. The Prophet by Bill Adams. Stefan Schnabel was Gregory Vilna. Newsboy Michael O'Day. Jimsy Summers played Greta. And Gloria Stenyu was Reba. Jack Payne is our engineer. John Powers and Weston Conant are sound technicians. James Hayes, production for NBC. Music and arrangements are by John Garth. And Big Town is written and directed by Jerry McGill. Now, this is your narrator, Hugh James, bidding you, on behalf of our sponsors, the Lever Brothers Company, and our entire cast, a very Merry Christmas. And good night until next Tuesday, same time, same station, when you'll hear the Illustrated Press newsboy calling.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Deadly Resolution, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra.
New Rinso with Solium puts sunshine in your wash. Yes, rain or shine, new Rinso with Solium give your wash an amazing new brilliance. You can dry your wash anywhere, and white clothes will turn out not just whiter, but actually whiter than new. And washable colors not just brighter, but even brighter than brand new. It's because new Rinso contains the scientific sunlight ingredient, Solium. New Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Find out for yourself how new Rinso with Solium puts sunshine in your wash. Only new Rinso contains Solium. Today, more women use Rinso than any other wash day soap in the world.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, Lisa, there you have it. That is Big Town. A very good Christmas show, right? You like that show? That's called Prelude to Christmas, starring Edward Pawley, December 21st, 1948. It was sponsored by Lifebuoy. And you know what they said there? If you bathe daily with Lifebuoy, you get rid of BO.
You should take that to heart.
I'm just saying. I mean, I know, so am I. Just letting you know.
I feel the same.
Bathe daily, Lifebuoy, and no more BO.
Exactly, Carl.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Not trying to, point any fingers
or
anything.
Oh, I am.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. All right, you know what? Someone had texted a little earlier and said, if they purchased my book and get it autographed and all that, would they receive it in time for Christmas? And the answer is yes. Folks, I co-wrote a book with a friend of mine, Martin Grams, and it's all about the golden age of radio. It's called The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows. And if you go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, that's WGNRadioTheater.com, there will be a pop-up that pops up and talks all about the book. At least take a look at it. And I think that you would like to own a copy. It's only $29.99 plus shipping and handling. And it's a 224-page coffee table book, weighs 4 pounds. And it's chock full of hundreds of pictures of the golden age of radio stars in front of microphones and things. We detail the top 100 shows like The Shadow, The Lone Ranger, Suspense, Gunsmoke, Dragnet, so on and so forth. There are 3 CDs in the back of the book. And you can, that has 6 shows. And then you can digitally download an additional 72 shows. So in total, you get 78 classic radio shows via digital download or on CD with the book. So it's called The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows. Check it out. Only $29.99. And I will be happy to autograph and personalize it to you if you want me to say something like, to Jack, happy holidays or Merry Christmas or whatever, and then I will sign it to you, and that's all part of the presentation. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, and yes, you will have it in plenty of time for Christmas if you order it over the next few days. Right, Lisa?
Right, Carl. And if you prefer to go on Amazon, because I'm an Amazon fan, you can do it that way as well. It just won't be personalized, but you're welcome to order through Amazon
right.
as well.
If you order it at Amazon or buy it at Barnes & Noble or something, I can't autograph it. But
Amazon
you can
is
certainly,
great.
Yeah. Oh, no. You can get it there as well. All right. So do check it out. Top 100 classic radio shows. Lisa, what do you call people who are afraid of Santa?
Claustrophobic.
Claustrophobic. Very good, Lisa.
I'm quick.
Yeah.
That just made sense.
All right, in our next hour, it's a good comedy Christmas show with the Aldridge family. You won't want to miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Esmeralda, and thank you, Roger. This is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater, and in this hour, we have the Aldridge Family Christmas show coming your way. It's brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming film Angel Has Fallen, the third chapter in the Has Fallen franchise, where Banning himself becomes the target of a terrorist attack.
Another one of these movies?
The third one. And the winner is going to get two tickets to the Christmas Schooner at Mercury Theater.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of 300.
And, of course, Spartans have the reputation to consider.
All right.
I would date him.
Yeah, I bet you would. I bet
just
you would, Lisa.
That, I'm just going to join your bandwagon here.
Yeah, all right. Well, you can date him. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Number to call, 312-981-7200. Who is that actor? We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that one more time.
And, of course, Spartans have the reputation.
He just called. He wants to date you, Lisa.
I know.
Called from L.A.
I know, but I didn't take the call.
Called from his private jet.
I know. I'll call him back when I get to it. So anyhow, Shantae took a caller off the air, and we found out that Jordan knew that the correct answer was Gerard Butler. So congratulations to Jordan. He gets to go see the Christmas Schooner at Mercury Theater Chicago, a holiday classic. For information and tickets, go to mercurytheaterchicago.com. Great show. Great theater.
All right, Lisa. And it's time now for the Aldridge family. You know, I got to years ago be in a radio reenactment of the Aldridge family. I was probably 25 years old, and I'm trying to remember what I played in the episode. But Ezra Stone was there along with Jackie Kelk. So there was the real Homer Brown and the real Henry Aldridge. I played, like, I don't know, a small part in the...
Like the wind in the background?
No, I was a character, but it was, I don't know if they recorded it or not, but it was on a stage.
A tree, perchance?
It was a stage. No, it was a stage, and we were on the microphones and everything, and got to talk with Ezra Stone and Jackie Kelk, and it was so great.
No, I know you've had the chance to talk to a lot
really
of the
is.
Greats that are no longer with us.
Yeah,
so
it was really, because
really cool.
I got into old-time radio at a very young age. Yeah. I got into it when I was 12 years old. So by the time I was 16, 17, 18, able to travel, I would go to these conventions where all of these people still would get together, and they loved meeting their fans.
And that's such an unusual passion to have at that age.
Yeah. Well, I was a weird kid. I'm a weird adult.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stayed weird. I just got older.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah, but it was so cool to meet all these people like Lon Clark, who played Nick Carter, Jackson Beck, and I mean, I can go on and on, Norman McDonald. And,
was your mom worried about you? No, really. Mm. I mean, you were unusual for a child to have that kind of a passion rather than, out riding your bikes. You're going to...
Well, my brother used to always be like, go outside, play baseball.
Right.
Because I was always cataloging my shows in the basement.
Off to these radio conventions, which, again, very unusual.
I would
passion.
Drive to Cincinnati.
Oh.
I would drive to New York or fly
really?
To New Jersey. Yeah.
Alone? Did you go alone?
Yeah, I would go because I wanted to meet these people. I would tape record them.
Were your parents passionate about classic
no.
radio?
No. So I mean, when they were growing up, they loved
no,
listening to it.
No, I meant with you.
No.
So this is just all
no.
inside
I was the only,
bread.
Yeah. And you know my friend Vince Lombardi.
Right. I know.
But he didn't collect them like I did.
Right.
You know, I was collecting these.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Well, Ezra Stone and Jackie Kelk are not on this particular episode of the Aldridge Family because a little later in the run, other actors took over. This stars Bobby Ellis, and it's a Christmas show from December 21st, 1952, Part One. Now of the Aldridge Family.
And now a Merry Christmas to you, and here. The Aldridge Family on NBC.
Henry! Henry Aldridge!
Coming, Mother!
Yes, it's the Aldridge Family transcribed, written by Clifford Goldsmith. The holiday season is always the wide-eyed time of the year for a typical teenage boy. But no matter how wide open his eyes are, he's almost certain to walk right smack into some assorted troubles, especially if he's like Henry Aldridge. The scene opens at the Aldridge breakfast table. The time is morning.
10, 11, 12.
Henry, will you pass the cream, please?
The cream, Mary, here you are. 12, 13.
Henry, that's the sugar you're passing.
Oh, excuse me, here. 12, 13, 14.
Henry, may I have that piece of toast if you aren't going to eat it?
I'm going to eat it, Mother. Was that 13 or 14?
12.
Now, Sam, don't rattle him. It was 14, dear.
14? Are you sure?
Yes, Henry.
14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Well, gee whiz.
What's the matter?
Do you know how many Christmas cards I received this time last year?
How many?
Well, according to my records, 35. That shows how times change.
Well, Henry, this is only the day before Christmas. There's one more delivery.
Well, I know, Mother, but all my old standbys are heard from. I can't depend on any new ones coming in.
Henry, are you sure you have the right attitude toward Christmas?
The right attitude, Father? Well, I've got to know where I stand, don't I? I've slipped back to practically 1949.
All right, dear, all right. Eat your cereal.
Yeah, I'm eating it, Mother.
Sam, did we send the Whitmores a card?
The Whitmores? Who are the Whitmores?
Well, don't you remember? We met them on the train coming back from Chicago.
You mean that trip we took way back in 1946?
Yes.
And they're still sending us cards?
Every Christmas. Naturally, we ought to send them one.
Henry, are you going to Nancy Adams' party tonight?
What's that, Mary?
The party tonight. Are you going?
Well, I'll tell you, Mary.
Henry, Nancy isn't giving a party on Christmas Eve, is she?
Well, in a way, she's giving it on Christmas Eve.
What do you mean, in a way, she is?
Well, Father, I hope you don't think I'm going to walk out of my whole family tonight. You don't have to worry about that.
You mean you're not going, Henry?
Mary, do you have to pin your own brother down like that? I'm just going for a little while.
Why, Henry, we always spend Christmas Eve together as a family, and then go to church together.
Mother, I thought that after we got the tree trimmed, well, naturally, we'd want to sit around and rest for a second. And I thought that while we're resting, I'd just race over and say hello to the gang and then come around and meet you at the church.
Oh, you had it all figured out, huh?
Well, I didn't have it figured out exactly. I just thought I'd be prepared if the subject came up.
Well, dear, I'm sorry to have to tell you, but you're not going to any party tonight.
Not even for 12 minutes?
Not even for 2 minutes.
My goodness, Henry, don't you realize tonight is Christmas Eve?
Alice, who are Ed and Bill?
Ed and Bill? Ed and Bill who, dear?
I don't know. His card's just signed Ed and Bill.
Well, isn't that strange?
Mother, is the subject of the party dropped for good?
Yes, dear. Sam, look at this.
At what?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cards here from people we haven't sent cards to. And here it is the day before Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Gee whiz, Homer. Where'd you come from?
I'm home, Mrs. Aldridge.
Good morning, Homer.
Hello, Homer.
Good morning, Homer.
Henry, I've got a very private piece of news for you.
You have?
Gee whiz, is that coffee cake?
Yes, dear. Wouldn't you like to go out in the kitchen and get a plate and have a piece?
Well, no, thank you. I've got my gloves on. I'll just take a piece right here.
Homer, what's that in your coat lapel?
Mistletoe, Mary.
Oh.
Mr. Aldridge, are you expecting any telegrams today?
Telegrams?
Because if you are, I'll keep my eyes open for them for you.
Why? Are you working down at the telegraph office?
Well, not yet exactly, Mrs. Aldridge, but I've been talking to them about it. And things may open up at the last minute.
Will you excuse me, please, everybody? Come on, Homer.
Henry, you didn't fold your napkin.
I didn't even unfold it.
Alice, we didn't meet anybody by the name of Ed and Bill at Atlantic City that summer, did we?
Homer, what do you got to tell me?
Gee, I got wonderful news for you, I think.
What about?
Eleanor's going to give you a Christmas present.
Who, me?
Well, sure. I just met her on the street, and she wanted me to ask you to meet her in front of the Centerville gift shop just as soon as you can get there.
Well, gee, what makes you think she's going to give me something?
That's why she wants you to meet her, so you can help her pick out a wallet.
A wallet?
I'm not kidding you, Henry. I swear that's what she told me.
Homer, did Eleanor come right out and say she was going to give it to me?
Well, of course she didn't. I said to her, I said, you mean you're getting it for Henry? And she got all red and embarrassed and said, well, of course not. I'm getting it for my father. But I could tell she was covering up.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And I'm to meet her down at the gift shop, she said?
Well, sure. Just as soon as you can get there.
Hello, is this Toby Smith?
Yes?
Well, this is Eleanor Wentworth. Toby, could you meet me down at the gift shop in the next 15 minutes?
At the Centerville gift shop?
Yes, I'm there now. I want you to help me pick out a wallet.
A wallet? You mean a man's wallet?
Yes, of course, only I don't know anything about that sort of thing.
You mean you're getting...
It's for my father.
For your father. That's a hot one.
Toby, really it is, and I'd love to see what kind you'd pick out.
Well, sure, Eleanor. Oh, boy, I'll be down there in 10 minutes.
Hello?
Hello, Alice. This is Sam.
Yes, dear. Where are you?
Down at the office. Do you remember the Mulligans?
The Mulligans?
They live over in Abbott City. What's his first name?
Well, I believe it's Joe.
Joe?
Yes, I'm sure it's Joe.
Then the Mulligans didn't send that card from Ed and Bill. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Father, will you please take a look at this Christmas card I just got?
Let me see it.
Isn't that embarrassing? I bet it cost 75 cents.
Who's it from, dear?
From Homer. Isn't that embarrassing?
Oh, now, I think it was a very nice thing for him to do.
But, Mother, do I have to send one back to him?
Well, of course, Mary. Now, please don't bother me, dear. I've got to wrap up that fruitcake I've been meaning to send Mrs. Hawkins all week.
To Mrs. Hawkins?
Yes, dear. She has three boys in the service, and she's all alone this Christmas.
Mother, where are you?
I'm out here in the kitchen, Henry, and I'm very busy.
Well, I'm very sorry to interrupt you like this, but could I have a talk with you confidentially about something important?
Well, what's happened, dear?
Well, nothing. Only could you please step into the dining room a second? Mary, I don't like to be rude, but this is about Christmas.
Oh, that's all right, Henry. Only I hope you're not going to spend a whole lot on me.
On who? Now, Mary, don't start getting any ideas.
Henry, you'll have to hurry. I haven't more than a minute.
Yes, Mother, here's what happened. Eleanor Wentworth has given me a $3.95 wallet, plus tax.
What's that?
A wallet. It's made of leather, and it even has a place for my student body.
For your what?
My student body card. That's in case if I'm in an accident, people will know who I am.
Well, now, just one minute, dear. Suppose you calm down and tell me very slowly what it is that happened.
But, Mother, there's no time to lose. I've got to have $4.
What for?
Don't you understand? I've got to give Eleanor a present just as good as the one she's giving me, haven't I?
Well, frankly, Henry, if Eleanor at her age wants to spend money on presents for boys, it's none of my business. But I don't believe I have $4 to give you to buy her anything.
But, Mother, what am I going to do about Toby Smith?
What's that?
Well, Toby Smith was down there, too, putting his 2 cents worth because he thinks the wallet's for him. And Eleanor pointed out something that she's crazy about. And it costs $4. And if I don't beat him to it, he'll get it first. And then won't I look like a fool?
Henry, if you have $4 of your own, that's something else. But I really don't think I should give it to you.
Mother, will you please look at what I just discovered? I'm certainly not going to send a card to Homer.
Why not, Mary?
Look, Mother, I held the card he sent me under a very strong light. And look at what's been erased on it. I hope you like your gun. Love, Aunt Beth. Well, dear, Homer was probably just cutting down expenses.
Mary, could you step into the living room while I have a confidential talk with you for a second?
What about?
Christmas.
Oh, you want some advice?
Mary, do you remember what it was I was going to do just as Henry came in?
No, Mother. Well, Henry?
Do you know Toby Smith?
Yes.
Do you like him?
Henry, I can't stand him.
Mary, I'm sure glad to hear you say that. Could you lend me
$4? $4?
Well, look, Mary, if I don't give Eleanor more than a 25-cent handkerchief, I'll never be able to walk on a public street again. And I know just exactly what she wants.
What?
Well, she pointed it out in the gift shop. She said it was about the nicest thing she'd ever seen.
What was it?
Mary, haven't you even been listening? A Christmas tree that lights up.
A what?
To wear on the lapel of your coat. It's a pin, see, and it has a little battery in it.
Really?
Sure, and it's only $4. And they've only got one left.
But, Henry, you already owe me money.
Hey, Henry.
She was, Homer. Where are you?
Boy, I think I'm going to get that job delivering telegrams this afternoon.
Oh, that's fine. Listen, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Homer.
Did you... Have the mails been coming through all right today?
Yes.
Well, how do you feel?
I feel just fine.
Oh. Homer, what is it you want?
Listen, did you know Toby Smith is taking Eleanor to the party tonight?
You're crazy. Who told you that?
Toby did. I met him just a little while ago on his way home. He had to get some money to buy something.
Mary, do you hear that? Haven't you got any family pride?
Which counter is it at, Henry?
It's right over here, Homer. Oh, mister.
Something I can do for you, young man?
Yes, sir. I came back to get the tree.
What's that?
The Christmas tree that lights up.
Oh, yes. We do have a nice one here in the store this year, haven't we?
I guess he's hard of hearing, Henry.
No, the little Christmas tree.
The what?
Don't you remember the little Christmas tree that surprises you when it lights up?
Oh, you mean the pin.
Sure. I finally got the $4 for it.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's just been sold.
What's that? It's been sold?
Less than 10 minutes ago.
Well, that's a fine thing. After I promised to make my sister's bed every morning for a month as compound interest.
I'm sorry, sir.
Hey, look, Henry, how about getting Eleanor just a straight flashlight? Boy, I saw one that's so powerful it'll blind her.
Homer, what would she do with a flashlight?
Well, I know darn well I'd like it.
Mister, are you positive that pin's been sold?
Well, there's the clerk over there who made the sale. She might even be able to tell you who bought it.
Oh, I know who bought it. I just don't see how he got down here so fast. And Eleanor said herself it's the only pin she's ever seen she really likes.
Hey, mister.
Gee whiz, Toby, what are you doing back here?
Mister, how about that Christmas tree that lights up like a pin? I mean, you know what I mean.
I beg your pardon?
The pin.
I'm sorry, young man, but that pin's been sold.
It's been sold? Yeah. Oh, now listen, Henry.
Gee whiz, Toby, you mean you didn't buy it?
Now listen, Henry, I'm supposed to get that for Eleanor. Hand it over.
Hand what over? I haven't got it.
Toby, stop pushing, Henry.
That's what I say.
Listen, Homer Brown, did you buy it?
Hey! Now listen, Toby.
Now, wait a minute, boys, wait a minute. Be careful of that piece on earth sign.
All right, that's the first portion of The Aldridge Family from December 21st, 1952. Good Christmas Eve show starring Bobby Ellis. We'll get back to it in just a few moments. That guy's got a nice, you know, smooth tone, doesn't he?
He sounds really tall.
I'll bet he's very tall. But that was me talking about Nostalgia Digest right there. Of course, it was Memorex. It wasn't live.
I picked up on that.
Yeah. And I have the latest issue of Nostalgia Digest in my hand right here. And Jack Benny's on the cover. And I got to tell you, as I said in that commercial, this has been around for over 40 years, this magazine. And Lisa didn't even know about it till just maybe 6 months ago?
Nope, that's not the case.
Oh, no?
No.
What?
No, I know about it. I just didn't receive it
prior. Oh, I thought you just saw this at your... Was it your dentist's office or something
no,
like that?
No, I saw it at the chiropractor's office.
Chiropractor's office. And you were like, look at this. And I thought you took a picture of it and you sent it to me and said, what is this, Nostalgia Digest?
No, I just wanted to make sure you knew about it. We hadn't had Steve Darnell on the show.
I know about it.
I'm just checking.
Listen, I've been listening to classic radio and I knew about I used to subscribe to Nostalgia Digest for years. And then I don't know what happened. I stopped subscribing, but luckily I'm subscribing again. See,
right.
I have the
issue. Well, we've got our whole schedule in there for end of the year?
I feel very lucky to be working with Steve on this because he prints our whole schedule. Look at that right there. See that?
Yep,
3 months of our WGN Radio Theater schedule. And the great thing is if you order Nostalgia Digest, if you buy a 2-year subscription, it's only $30 for 8 issues, 2 full years, and you get a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas, a $27.99 value. So it's almost like free.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
Yeah, just go to NostalgiaDigest.com. Make sure you write in WGN when you in the ordering instructions, because that way you'll get the CDs, right?
Right.
Well, this is a great book.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, it's
all
is
kinds
good.
Of there's oh, there's great articles in here, and it's just a terrific publication. Steve does a terrific job with it. NostalgiaDigest.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, Lisa, we are we've got another 25 minutes. Nick DiGilio will be in here. We'll talk to Nick. But right now it's the conclusion to this Christmas episode of The Aldridge Family.
Hello?
Hello, Sam Aldridge speaking.
Oh, hello, Sam. This is Alice.
Yeah.
Did you room with someone at Princeton by that name?
By what name?
Ed or Bill?
He didn't have both names. Anyhow, we called him Murph.
Oh. Well, the reason I called, dear, is to ask what we ought to do about Homer.
Homer, what's happened to him?
Well, he was here just a little while ago, and after he left, I found a card on the living room table addressed to me.
Yes?
Well, he's apparently saving postage. Don't you think I ought to give him something rather nice?
All right. How about one of your fruitcakes?
Sam, that reminds me. Don't let me forget to send Mrs. Hawkins that fruitcake.
That's a nice idea. No one in town I'd rather remember. She's got three sons in the service.
That's the way I feel.
And Alice, it's starting to snow pretty hard. Tell Henry he'd better start shoveling.
Well, Henry isn't here right now.
Well, when he comes in, tell him.
All right, dear. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mother!
Yes, Henry?
I've got to ask you something.
Dear, your father wants you to keep the walks cleared of snow.
Sure, Mother, but listen. Who could this be? She's a lady, see? She's a lady.
What's that?
Well, now wait, Mother. She's a lady about so high, see? And she wears a black coat with a black fur collar. Who is she?
Henry, what are you talking about?
Who is she, Mother? Who is she? I've got to know.
Is this a game, Henry?
A game? Mother, my whole Christmas is at stake. She's my only clue.
Henry, I can't possibly know who you're talking about.
Well, she was. You know all the ladies in town. Now listen very carefully. She comes up to here on me, see? She wears a black coat with fur cuffs.
I thought you said a fur collar.
I did? Sure. And she's not very heavy. She weighs maybe... Well, you know Mrs. Brown?
Yes.
Well, she isn't like that at all, but that'll give you an idea. And she wears her eyeglasses on a chain.
Well, my goodness. Henry, why do you have to know the answer?
She's got the tree. She's got the tree.
Whose tree?
My tree that I'm giving Eleanor.
What's that?
She got there ahead of Toby and me, don't you see? The clerk described her to me. I got to find her and make her an offer.
She wears her glasses on a chain and she's about so high.
And fur on a coat.
Well, the only person that reminds me of is Mrs. Kittinger.
Mrs. Kittinger? Gee whiz, why didn't I think of her? I'll go right over.
Now, wait a minute, Henry. It might just possibly be Mrs. Tarbell.
Mrs. Tarbell? Sure, that sounds like Mrs. Tarbell. I'll go right over.
No, wait. I just thought of someone else who wears her glasses on a chain.
A woman?
Yes, of course, Miss Perkins.
Miss Perkins? All right, I'll try Miss Perkins, Mrs. Tarbell, and Mrs. Kittinger.
And don't forget the front wall.
No, I won't, Mother. Just as soon as I've taken care of this. Goodbye.
Henry, I thought of someone else. Henry?
Hello there, Henry Aldrich. Won't you step inside?
No, thanks, Mrs. Kittinger. I only get snow all over your rug.
Oh, my goodness, look at the snow. Well, what can I do for you, Henry?
Well, first, do you have a coat with fur on it?
Why, not to give away, Henry.
No, I was just wondering. I thought you wore glasses.
Why, I do sometimes. Did your mother send you over?
Well, in a way, she did. Were you down at the gift shop this morning?
Yes, I was.
Well, did you make a purchase there?
Yes, of course. As a matter of fact, it was very foolish of me to wait until the last minute. There was hardly anything left.
I'll say.
Henry, just what was it you wanted?
Nothing. Gee, your walk certainly needs shoveling, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm afraid it does.
Well, Mrs. Kittinger, if you have a shovel, I'd be very glad to clean it off for you.
Well, now that's very thoughtful of you, Henry. And I'd be glad to pay you.
Oh, no, I wouldn't take any money from you. But when I get through, Mrs. Kittinger, you're going to be around, aren't you?
Yes.
Because I want to have a little talk with you.
Why, Henry Aldrich.
How do you do, Mrs. Tarbell? Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Well, I'm sure glad to see you're wearing your glasses on a chain.
What's that?
Boy, did I make a mistake over at Mrs. Kittinger's. She wears them, but they're not on a chain. And that's where I got off on the wrong foot.
Henry, didn't I see you just as I was leaving the gift shop this morning?
Did you?
Yes, I'm sure I did.
Mrs. Tarbell, how would you like to have your walk clean?
So far this Christmas, Henry's one purpose is to catch up with the lady who bought the only pin of its kind in town, a pin that cost $4 and that looks like a small Christmas tree, which Eleanor said she'd just love to have if anyone wanted to give her anything. The scene opens in the Aldridge living room.
Dad, are you home?
I am. I thought I sent word for Henry to clean off our walk.
Well, dear, I asked him to, but he went out and he hasn't come back since.
Huh? And look at me. I had to wade through a drift up to my knees.
Well, you go right up and change your clothes.
What got an end to that boy? You can take time to shovel other people's walks, but not ours.
Why do you say that?
Miss Perkins stopped me on the street on the way home and told me how nice it was of Henry to come over and clean her walk.
Well, my goodness.
Oh, and here, see whether you can figure these Christmas cards out. One is signed Ida and one is signed Van.
Ida? I never heard of Ida.
Well, who's Van?
Well, that isn't the point, dear. But why would any Ida be sending you a card at the office?
I'm going up and soak my feet.
Hello?
This is Western Union calling. Is Henry Aldridge there?
No, he isn't. Do you have a telegram for him?
No, I just wanted to say hello.
Who is this?
It's Homer. I got the job. Goodbye.
What's that?
Mother, I have that fruitcake ready for Mrs. Hawkins.
You have, Mary? Sam!
Yes, Alice?
Have you started to soak yet?
What?
Well, my gracious. Christmas is always like this. Hello?
Is this Miss Aldridge?
Yes.
This is Miss Kittinger. I just wanted to call and tell you how nice it was of you to send Henry over.
What's that?
I say it was so sweet of you to send Henry over to clean my walk.
Oh. Oh, did he clean yours, too?
Yes, he did a perfect job. And he wouldn't take a cent. All he wanted to do was come in and look at the presents I'm giving.
What's that?
All right, Alice. What is it you want?
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Aldridge.
Well, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Sam, what are you doing down here in your bare feet?
You asked me to come down. What do you want?
Oh, well, I was going to ask you to take that fruitcake over to Mrs. Hawkins, but I guess it will have to wait.
But I'm down here now.
No, dear, you go right back up and soak. Sure, Homer. What is it you want?
Well, come on with me while I deliver a couple of telegrams.
Gee whiz, I'm tired. I'm going home.
It's only a few blocks out of your way.
Homer, look at me. My feet are wet. I haven't had any lunch.
Boy, what have you been doing?
I've been shoveling every walk in town. Boy, did my mother double-cross me.
Yeah, but look, Henry, my first stop is Mrs. Hawkins, just three doors down the street. I'll even let you borrow one of my gloves. Here, take the right one. I carry my telegrams in the left one.
Thanks.
Hey, one of the telegrams I've got is a war message.
A what?
Sure, it's from John Hawkins to his mother. He's in an army camp down in Texas.
Oh, I thought John Hawkins was in Korea.
No, his two brothers are in Korea. Now, here's the house right here.
And that's a war message you have for her?
Well, sure. John says he's very sorry, but he wasn't able to get a furlough to come home. And he's also sorry he and his brothers can't all be here tonight to spend an old-fashioned Christmas with their mother.
Yeah?
And then he wishes her a Merry Christmas.
Homer, I thought you weren't supposed to read confidential messages.
Well, she was. I haven't read you the message, Henry. Besides, everybody will know about it tomorrow.
Oh, how do you do, boys?
How do you do, Mrs. Hawkins? A telegram.
For me? Won't you step in while I see whether it needs an answer?
Well, okay. Only I don't think you'll find it does, Mrs. Hawkins.
No? Now, let me see if I can get my glasses untangled. This chain is always catching on something.
Can I help you untangle it?
No, thank you. I have it.
Mrs. Hawkins!
I'll be there in just 1 minute.
Gee whiz, Homer, that sounds like Toby Smith in the living room.
Mrs. Hawkins, this is it, all right. I'll pay you $4 for it.
Toby, what are you doing here?
Hey, look, Homer, they're on a chain.
Why?
Her glasses. Now listen, Toby, you can't have that pin.
Get away, Henry.
Now listen, Toby.
Henry, don't let him push you like that.
Boys, look out for that angel.
Now listen, Henry.
There, darn you.
Hey!
Boys, watch the door.
Well, gee whiz.
Hello?
Sam, would you mind putting another log on the fire, please?
That's just what I'm going to do.
My goodness, but it's an awful night out. You ought to look out the window, Mother. I've never seen so much snow on Christmas Eve.
Mary, straighten that piece of holly that's hanging right over your father.
All right. Hold still, Father.
I can't lift the log and hold still, too.
Dear, look out for the sparks.
They're all right.
Mary, when Henry came a while ago, exactly what did he say?
He just asked whether you and Father were in, and I said no, you'd gone out to do some shopping, and then he ran upstairs. And when he came down, he had his best suit on.
And that's all he said?
Well, he said to tell you he finally straightened out the whole problem of Eleanor's present, and that he was in an awful hurry to get down to the glass cutters, and something about a party.
Sam, what do you think we ought to do?
Phone wherever the party is and tell him to come home.
Now, dear, we aren't going to do anything like that.
Didn't you explain to Henry that we always spend Christmas Eve together, as all families do?
Dear, if Henry doesn't want to spend this evening with us, it's something I'm not going to force him to do.
Mother, don't you think he ought to be punished?
Mary, dear, will you go out to the kitchen and get that big bowl of fruit and nuts out there?
Yes, Mother.
Cheer up, Alice. He'll be along shortly.
Sam, I'm afraid Henry doesn't even begin to know what Christmas really means. The one thing he's thought about all day is himself and that present he wanted to get Eleanor. That's the only thing that's meant anything to him. He didn't shovel the walk. He didn't get the cellar window fixed. Oh, my goodness, Sam. That reminds me. You didn't get that fruitcake over to Mrs. Hawkins.
Well, how could I, Alice? I had to go out and shovel the walk for Henry.
Oh, I know, dear. But here it is, Christmas Eve, and Mrs. Hawkins. Well, of all the people in this town, we should have sent one to.
All right, Alice, all right. I'll take it over first thing tomorrow.
Well, can't we take it over now?
Tonight, in this storm?
Well, we could certainly drop it off on the way to church, can't we?
Alice, I realize Mrs. Hawkins misses her boys like everything, but the church is in one direction and the Hawkins house is in the other. It's snowing to beat the band. I'll take it over first thing tomorrow.
Very well.
Incidentally, I wonder how the Hawkins boys are getting along.
Well, I understand she hears from them quite often.
Yes, there was always one thing about them. They were devoted to their mother.
Yes.
Alice, don't cry. I didn't mean it that way.
I'm not crying.
Here's a bowl of fruit and nuts, Mother. Will you have some?
No, dear. What would I want with any fruit and nuts?
Why, it's Christmas Eve. Father?
I'm not hungry, Mary.
What's the matter? I thought you wanted me to bring them in.
We did, dear. Just put them down there on the table where they'll look Christmassy.
Oh.
And light the candles on the piano just as though... Dear, where are you going?
I'm going to phone Henry and tell him to leave that party and come home.
Sam Aldridge, I don't want you to.
But, Mother, if Father does, then Henry won't even be here to go to church with us.
Now, Henry knows we're going. If he isn't here by then, we'll go alone.
When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Let us all rise while we sing, We Three Kings of Orient Are.
Sam.
Yes, Alice.
Sam, look.
Where?
Just three rows ahead. It's Mrs. Hawkins.
Yeah? You mean we should have brought the fruitcake with us?
No, dear.
Look who's with her. My goodness, Mother, look. Have the three Hawkins boys come home?
No, Mary. Can't you see who that is with her? It's Henry and Homer and Toby. Sam.
Huh?
Just look at Henry. I've never seen him look so nice.
Alice, I've just remembered who Ed and Bill are. They're Mrs. Hawkins' two sons in Korea.
Westward leading still proceeds.
The Aldrich Family is transcribed as written by Clifford Goldsmith. Henry is played by Bobby Ellis and Homer by Jack Grimes. Mr. and Mrs. Aldrich are House Jameson and Barbara Robbins. Your announcer is Dick Dudley. Listen again next week, same time, same station, for another sparkling half hour with the Aldrich Family.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Tonight, it's the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show on NBC.
There you have it. That is the Aldrich Family from December 21st, 1952. That's a good day before Christmas program. And a lot of fun. We had Bobby Ellis along with Jack Grimes on that. House Jameson in the cast as heard on NBC.